Good morning, everybody. We're going to call this Safety on Saturday or Safe Saturday. We have a round table here, and our guest speaker today will be none other than Pastor Joe L. Bowens, and he has other credentials. He's, other than being a pastor, he's been affiliated with the police department for a very long time, and we're just talking about the things that's going on right now, the riots, the protesting, and all in the wake of the George Floyd case, and he's going to give us a few tips on how to prepare yourself or how to act in when you come in contact with a police officer. First of all, Pastor Joe Bowens, just say hello.
Hello. Hi there, everyone.
And so everybody else, y'all say hello. So we have a lot of people that, you know, sitting around, and we're going to just talk about this. First of all, let them know a little bit about your background and, you know, what you do.
Okay, I worked at in Columbus, Mississippi, around and with the police department. I also worked in the court system for about 4 years, and I done security for a number of years. And presently, I'm a private investigator and also a full-time pastor of Second Baptist Church in Prairie, Mississippi.
All right.
And what I wanted to discuss with you today and with the sponsor today about 10 rules of survival if you're stopped by the police. And what I wanted to let everybody know that all police are not bad policemen. There
right.
are some good policemen. There are some good guys that really believe in right, that really believe
right.
in doing right, and they're going to talk to you right. And most of the time, it's not only the police, but sometimes we provoke them by questioning why we're stopped and a lot of other things that our attitude means a lot when you are talking to the police. So we have some rules, and thank to my niece, my friend, and my minister, Amy Dean, for doing a wonderful job and allowing us to do this, because we want anybody on the highway, anybody that's stopped by the police, our main goal is to get you home safe.
Amen. Thank you so much. And we need that. Like you were saying, a lot of people ask questions. A lot of us feel like that's our right. If you pull me over, the first thing I need to ask you is, why did you stop me? So are you saying that we shouldn't ask that?
No, I'm not. I'm saying if you ask, be polite.
Okay.
And do it with the utmost respect. Respect your law enforcement. When you're stopped by the police, be polite. Be respectful when you're stopped. And if he asks you questions, you answer his question and keep your mouth closed.
Okay.
And you're able to ask him, the officer, why'd you stop me? You got a right to ask him that. And if you ask him with respect, then I'm sure he will answer. He will tell you later after he called you in. First of all, the first protocol of an officer, when he stopped you, most of the time, he'll sit behind you and he'll call you in and see who car you driving.
Okay.
See, are you the driver of that car? And then we walk around, he's going to come around, and always, when he does, keep your hands where he can see your hands.
On your steering wheel.
Or keep your hand on your steering wheel, or hang your hands outside of the window.
Okay.
Where he'll know that there is no immediate danger.
Okay.
And then he'll approach your car.
Okay.
But most of all, be polite when he stopped you and you can say, officer, what's wrong? What's the problem?
Yeah.
And I'm sure that he will answer you.
Because, you know, even though we as black people, so I'm just going to say what it is, black people and black men especially, we get afraid when we're pulled over by the police officer. But I think they're just as afraid when they pull us over, too, at times. They don't know who they're approaching in the vehicle, so do you think they play a lot into, you know, what's going on
It
now
really does, because many officers have been shot because a lot of people that they stop are wanted, they got warrants, and there are a lot of things going on. So a police officer have to be careful as well. You know, he have to stay within the law. If he feels threatened, he will release the clip off his holster and walk up to your car and speak to you.
I've seen that.
Yeah, when he feels threatened, he does that. But if you feel like that, if you are in danger, the best thing you can do is just sit in your car. Just sit there and be obedient and obey it. What the police ask you to do, do everything they ask you to do. If you got a problem, if you think your rights have been violated, then you fight him in court. Don't fight him on the highway.
That's right. Push your pride to the side and just wait.
Exactly.
Like
quality
you said.
Pride. Quality your pride and be obedient. And if you feel like he has violated your rights, then you file a formal complaint with your local police with the jurisdiction law. Just file a complaint. Fight him in court. Fight him. Don't fight him on his terms, but fight him equally with the law. The law will prevail if you're right.
Right.
So you don't have to just argue with him or discuss
back and forth on the street
with him, because ultimately you're not going to win.
Right.
Or you're not going to win. When you argue with a police officer, you're constantly adding extra charges onto what you're already charged with.
Right.
Yeah.
So the best thing to do is keep in your mind, just try to get home.
Right.
Get your mind
right. Just have your mind that I'm going to get home today. I'm going to get home safely. I'm just going to listen to what he got to say. If you take me to jail, I just get born out and I fight him in court.
Fight him in court. That's man. Yeah. Well, I'm going to let you give us 10 rules. But first of all, is anybody around the round table, y'all have any questions or any comments that y'all want to say before you give us the 10 rules of survival after being stopped by law enforcement? Anybody got any rules? Okay, so what we're going to do now, they wanted him to go ahead and just do the rules first. So we'll go through the rules first.
Okay, there are 10 rules of survival if you're stopped by the police. The first rule is be polite and respectful when stopped by the police, and keep your mouth closed. Don't do a lot of talking or arguing about why you stopped. Just let him tell you why he stopped you, and he'll explain it, but you do it with respect. The second rule is remember your goal is to get home safely. Mm-hmm. If you feel that your rights have been violated, if you're underage, call your parents. And then you have the right to file a formal complaint with your local police or your jurisdiction. Third, don't under any circumstance get into an argument with the police.
Okay.
Because ultimately, you're not going to win.
Right.
You're not going to win. The first thing he's going to do is call for backup.
That's right.
And they're going to take you to jail.
That's right.
And then they're going to add extra charges that you disobeyed a police officer.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be very careful about what you say. Fourthly, always remember that anything you say or do can be used against you in a court of law. All that arguing, all them statements that you're making, they can record you and take you to court, and everything you said is going to come back and hit you in the face.
Wow.
So you be careful what you say and how you talk to the police officer. Number five, keep your hands in plain sight and make sure that police can see your hands at all times. Make sure to keep your hands out your pocket. Don't make no sudden move. Don't make no fast move. And don't never approach a police officer when he stops you or when he asks you to get out your car. You
right.
Stand still. Don't approach him in no fashion.
Hmm.
Number six, avoid physical contact with the police. No sudden movement, and keep your hands out of your pockets.
Hmm.
At all times, when I was in court, we just always tell people to walk to the judge, get your hands in your pocket. Because they don't know what you got in your pocket.
Right.
They don't know what you are bringing out your pocket. Anytime they feel threatened, they have a right to react.
Hmm.
Anytime they feel threatened, they have a right to react. Because their life was threatened. You can't just somebody pull up a knife or something like that. You can't ask them what's in their pocket or wait till they get out, and then they sticking you with it and you see it. The officers are going to be careful. They're going to be cautioned, but
mm-hmm.
they're going to protect their life because they want to get home safe too.
Wow.
Number seven, do not run. Even if you are afraid of the police, don't run. Don't run, because if you run, you are adding another charge onto your already charged. You're evading the police, you're running away, and they will shoot you or they will tase you any way or any means to get you down or to stop you. They'll take action.
Hmm.
Number eight, even if you believe that you are innocent, do not resist arrest. And I see a lot of young people when they say that I didn't do nothing, they constantly telling the police I didn't do anything. And resisting arrest at the same time. If you didn't do anything, if you're innocent, obey the police officer, and then you got a chance to prove you're innocent.
Right.
You got a chance to do that. But if you fight them, if you resist them, you may never get that opportunity. You might get killed, you might get hurt, and you're putting the police life in jeopardy as well as yours when you're wrestling with him. So number nine says, don't make any statements about the innocent until you are able to meet with a lawyer, a public defender. Don't be arguing him about your innocence. Don't say you wasn't speeding because you don't have no radar to tell whether you're speeding or not. Maybe you were speeding. But don't never argue with them. If they say you're speeding, just say, well, I do it in court. Either when you're stopped by the police, when you see his light, take your phone at that same moment and take a picture of your speed armor.
Okay.
Okay?
Wow.
Yeah, and that'll be your proof if you go to court. And last but not least, number 10, stay calm and remain in control. Watch your words, your body language, your emotions, and don't let your friends speak for you or ask them to stay out of it. When you're talking to the police and they're studying, putting words in it and hollering at the police saying that they're wrong, tell them to stay out of it and be quiet, because they only escalate things. Mm-hmm. They only hype you up to keep talking and say, mm-hmm. you know, you don't let them do you like that. Don't listen to them. You stay calm, remain in control. Watch your word, your body language. Don't make no sudden moves. And keep your pause and don't get emotional disturbed, because you'll say things, you'll do something that's going to get you in more trouble.
Wow.
So those are 10 rules that will save your life. Those are 10 rules that will help you stay out of jail. Those are 10 rules that will help you maintain your innocence if you're innocent. And these are 10 rules that will help you get home safe.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. You know what, I really appreciate you sharing that. What I'm about to ask you now is, or what I'm about to say is, for black men, those rules, I know those rules apply for everybody, but it just seems like no matter what they do, it just depends on who that officer is that pulled them over, they still don't have a chance to make it home, even if they're not even resisting.
Well, a lot of police officers feel as though a black man is a greater threat to him. They feel like they're a greater threat because they feel like, and this is true, maybe somebody gonna get angry with me for saying this, maybe some officer will, but they feel like you are a greater threat of having a gun or resisting arrest or giving them bodily harm. They feel like basically every black person that drives a certain car mm-hmm. or wear a certain type of clothes mm-hmm. is dangerous to humanity, and
right.
they don't trust you. They don't believe. They always are suspicious of what you have, what you got on, or what mm-hmm. you're carrying in your car.
Mm-hmm.
So they feel an intimate danger over black people, and basically they feel like black folks are dangerous anyway.
That's right.
In a lot of cases.
I agree. So all of us are black, so we, you know, that's how we feeling, and we've seen it so many times. Even when, you know, like lately they've been pulling up all these different videos that people have recorded, officers pulling people out of their cars, and the first thing they started saying is stop resisting, stop resisting. And we can clearly see that that person is not resisting, but they keep saying stop resisting, stop resisting. And the person you say, I'm not resisting, I'm not resisting. So, I mean, I know you're doing this to help us, but what can we do? I mean...
Well, basically, what you can do is when he tell you resisting, if you know that you're not resisting, just try to be as stable and calm as you can be and be still. Don't wrestle, don't move, don't give them any reason to put their knee in your back or to put their knee around your neck. Don't
right.
give them no reasons.
Right.
I mean, when you give them reason and opportunity, they'll take it, and they'll hurt you. And
mm-hmm.
it's most of them is trying to build their reputation. Most of them is trying to, you know, just build up their morale. And it really hurts the whole police organization when they do that. When a lot of us are law-abiding citizens,
mm-hmm.
I was stopped once coming from Tupelo. I was stopped by a high patrol, and I saw him when he came around the car, and he unbuckled his gun. And I put my hand on the steering wheel, and when he got up to the car, he said, let me see your hand. And so I took him off the steering wheel, and I hung him out the window, and my badge was hanging up in the car. And when he saw my badge, he dropped his gun back down in it and reclipped it.
Mm.
And he asked me who was I with. He looked at the badge. He said, well, I'm going to let you go. And he let me went. That was no problem. But every black man don't have that
right.
opportunity.
Right.
And they don't have that option. And so what we have to do is learn how to be calm, learn how to not talk back, and in no circumstance argue with the police. Because evidently you're not going to win, because he got the law on his side. He got something backing him up
mm-hmm.
in the first place. And not too many police is going to argue or fight put down another police officer. Basically, they're going to stick together mm-hmm. because they're in the same business.
It's a brotherhood.
Yeah, and they are just afraid of you as you are them.
Right.
When they stop you at night, it's dangerous for a police officer.
Right.
It really is. And so, you know, that's my feeling. And just because you're black, that is a difference.
It is.
It really is a difference. It really is a difference. I mean, they will not take no chances with you when another race they stop. They will give them a little leeway. Mm-hmm. You know, talk to them. They don't have to drag you out the car. When they ask you to get out the car, get out the car. Don't let them ask you more than one. When they ask you, sir, get out your car. Or ma'am, get out your car. Open your door and get out your car. If you feel like you in danger, call somebody and get your phone and click your phone on and start a watch party while you're in that car. Or turn your recording on if you want that. Do something if you feel threatened. But in no wise argue or tussle or wrestle or make contact with the police officer.
Mm.
It's not safe. It's not healthy for him nor you. Because he is trained to do whatever he need to do to maintain and control that situation.
To make
whatever
sure he go home at night.
Right. Make sure that he go home for his family.
Right. Okay. Anybody got any questions or any comments?
Yes, sir. We had a conversation concerning this at an earlier date. But I want to reiterate something that you shared with me as well. Why is it so important for someone who has had an interaction with the police officer and it's not a good interaction? Why is it important to get the badge number?
Well, you get the badge number because then the police department is able to craze that officer at any time. He knows where he's supposed to be if he's not on duty. If he's on duty, they can craze him. They know what section of the city that he's working. Mm-hmm. They can contact him. They can have him to come in. And a lot of times it's good to get that number because a lot of police officers have had cases where they was discriminating other cities and other jobs and other communities, and they are able to look beyond that and give them a job. Mm-hmm. They're the only people that can leave one police department in Cleveland and come to New York City and get a job.
Mm.
You know, but if you go somewhere to try to get a job, they check your background.
Right.
But now, several of the officers that was involved in the Floyd killing and the other killing, they found out that they had previous problems with authority or with doing the right thing or with harassment or with different kind of tactic to hurt people. They have done this before.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's good.
Yeah.
My second question, many times when we see, most times on social media, there's a bad interaction with the officer or if it seems as excessive force is being used. Why is it so upsetting to the officer when they usually have their camera phones out? And is that legal for them to have their camera phones out?
The officer, it's not illegal. The officer, the camera is basically to protect them. It really not for that person that they're arrested, but for to protect them if you have a case, if you have a problem with them with excessive force, with the way that they talk to you, with the way they approach you, they have that camera as their proof. If you file a complaint against them, that camera is their evidence. But it also works for the other person as well.
Right.
Because when they're calling in, internal affairs will get those cameras, get those, and look at those, examine those, and see what the real problem were. Now, internal affairs deal with police officers. They deal with them. They just don't take what they say. They deal with the evidence. And that's why it's so important that when you feel like your rights have been violated, file a complaint and get that officer off the street. Because we are hurting some good officers,
right,
trying to get rid of the bad ones.
Right.
Remember, Jesus said, let the sweet and the tare do it together.
That's right.
And I do the separating.
That's right.
And so you can't look at a cop. He's not going to walk up to you and say, look, I pull you over because I'm a bad cop. He's not going to tell you that. Yeah. He just gonna pull you
it'd
over.
It'd be better if it was like that.
It'll be better if you were like a leper and say, I'm unclean.
All right.
That way you'll know who he is.
Right. Yeah. Wow. Any other questions?
Oh yes. Also, I guess there'll be part B of the question. Why is it so upsetting to the officer when the one who's being arrested or the one who's being approached has a camera phone on them, their camera phone, or if they go live?
Well, a lot of officers get aggressive a lot of times when you got a camera because they feel like you are spotting them out to do wrong, or that you are you're trying to get evidence on them, that you're trying to jam them up, you know what I'm saying? And they don't like to be jammed up. They don't like to be watched. A lot of them is not going to do things always by the book. So when you got your phone on, that's your evidence,
right,
you know, and they don't like to be checked. They don't like to be checked. They're like a regular human being.
Right.
You don't like to be checked. If I walked around you all day with a camera, you don't want to be checked.
That's right.
You know.
Right.
And so when you stop them, and you turn your camera on, it intimidate them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It bothers them when they know you're recording. That's why we telling people, get back. Get that thing out of my face.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they have to do right when that camera's on, because that's they right. know we will take them viral. Mm-hmm. They know we'll take them to the cleaner with that phone.
Right.
And the phone is a curse and also is a blessing.
Right.
That phone has saved a lot of lives. It has spared a lot of folks because they know they were being recorded.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My Lord.
And that is legal to have your, that's what I want the world to know. It is legal.
Yeah,
to have your camera phone when you're being approached by an officer.
Yeah, it is legal because there is no law to prohibit you from using your phone. That is your phone. When the government start paying your bill, they can tell you not to record. But as long as you pay your phone bill, you can record and you can voice them and you can take it and you can send it to many folks that you want to do in the time of that. Or you can, what I suggest sometimes when you stop, if you feel like you feel stressed, turn your phone on or either just kick it out and start a watch party with it. Well, other folk, if they can't see them, they can hear it.
Hear it, that's right.
And do that. I mean, do whatever it takes to protect yourself.
Make it home.
But be a law-abiding citizen. Do it according to these rules. Be patient. Be respectful. When you respectful to an officer, even a bad cop, if you respect him, he'll honor that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow.
You really don't have a choice.
Y'all young men hear that over there? Riding your bikes and stuff. And any other questions?
I have.
Come on, ma'am.
So, if you get pulled over and the police officer come up to your window and he see you get your phone recording, if he tell you to turn that phone off, is it your right to keep it on?
Well, he can't really tell you to turn your phone off. He can't do that. He can't. If you don't already have your phone in your hand, don't reach for your phone.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't make no sudden move. Don't present nothing that is not asked for.
Okay. Like I'm saying, like if you got it recorded, and you know, a lot of people have these stands that their phone can sit in while they ride, and he see it record, can he tell you to turn it off?
He's not going to do that if that is in your car. Unless he asks you to get out your car, or he tell you, ma'am, what is that you got in your car? He cannot tell you to turn your phone off. That's why people record it, because they cannot order you to turn your phone off. That's not in their job description. That's not their jurisdiction to tell you what to do with your phone. They can only tell you stand back or get back, and you see it all the time. They cannot come there and take your phone unless you are the one that they are arresting, or you are the one that they stopped, and you are the one that they are questioning. Then they can tell you turn your phone off, or let me see your license, your registration. They can do that.
Yeah.
But you only give them what they ask for. But if you are passing you, they cannot take your phone.
Mm. Okay. Wow. Any other questions? Comment? Okay. Pastor Bowen, since you're giving this information to us, the civilians, what would you tell officers? Because since all of this is going on, a lot of officers are turning in their badges. They don't want to deal with it anymore. Some officers feel like their life is threatened now, and some of the lives are, because there are a lot of upset people in the world about all this stuff going on. What kind of advice would you give other police officers that are out there still on the front line?
I would tell them to basically stick to your training. Stick to what you was trained. If you feel stressed, cough back up. Mm-hmm. Don't go and approach somebody and try to handle them by yourself, because they could have guns. They could they could be wanted. They could be a fugitive from somewhere. You have to be careful. Also, but call if you feel threatened. Call for backup. Don't try to handle the situation by yourself.
Right.
You know that's why you got a radio call for backup. If you feel threatened, go there and be polite and talk to them and just say, well, look, give me a second, I'll be back. If you feel threatened, go back to your car and call for backup.
Mm-hmm.
And just sit in your car. They're not going to pull off. As long as your lights is blanking back there and you told them to wait till you get back, they're not going to pull off. Call for backup, a call for help, a call it in, and they call in anyway. They always call in. So if you pull off and run, their headquarters and the 911 officers, they got your address, they got your tag number, they got your name if your car ain't stolen. So you have to be.
They got a way of getting back to
right, them. Right, they got a way to get back to you. But I tell any police officer, be professional. When you go out, when you professional and use professional courtesy, people will listen to you.
Right.
People will obey you. You want them to be respectful, then you show respect.
Right.
If you want them to obey you, then you do it in a respectful way. Do it with kindness and do it with power and authority. And,
yeah.
And people listen to you. You go there asking the person at the car and grab them at the car with no reason. I think you ought to have a reason when you ask somebody to get the car. I think that ought to be the reason. You say, sir, I need you to step out your car. You
right.
know, just ask them kindness. Sir, I need you to step out your car. If they won't step out the car, you know it's something wrong. Then, then call for backup. Don't you go there and snatch them out the car or pull them out the car.
Right.
Because they get in an argument with you. They can grab your taser. They can grab your gun.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody's life is in jeopardy. So
yeah.
So you have to take caution.
Well, that brings me to the Brooks guy over in Atlanta, Georgia. I don't know if you can talk about it or not. But we all saw what happened. We saw that he wrestled with him with the taser and all that stuff. But me personally, I can't speak for anybody else. I feel like he was running away from the officers. So I feel like they shouldn't have killed him. They shouldn't have shot him in the back and killed him, because they had his car. His tag was on the back of his car. So they knew who he was then, because at this point they had him ran his tag, pulled him out of the vehicle. And now he was running away from them. He didn't cause a threat because he was running away from them. Do you think they handled that properly?
I don't think so. Anytime I was talking to somebody and he was telling me, he said, if anybody come in my store and rob me, he said, when they go to leave it, I'm going to blow them away. And I told him, I said, if you shoot them in the back, you're guilty of murder, because there was no more threat.
Mm-hmm.
There was no threat. When somebody
right.
done robbed you and going the other way, that's not a life-threatening situation.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a threat. So when this man was running with his taser in his hand about 12 or 13 feet away from that cop running, there was no bodily danger to
right.
that officer.
Right.
So he could have spared him and not shot him. And I don't understand why he did, but I feel like there may be other reasons,
mm-hmm.
or he may have felt threatened. But with him being about 12 to 13 feet away from
mm-hmm.
him with that taser, I don't think
he was running.
And he's running off.
Direction.
I don't think there was no danger. I don't think that. I think that it should have been handled another way.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the most controversial right now is the George Floyd, the one that's turning a lot of things around in the world. I'm going to say in the world as we speak. A lot of laws and things are being changed. When you saw that video, because it took me a minute to be able to watch it. When you saw that video, I mean, what did you see and how did it make you feel being the fact that you are in law enforcement, You are a black man. You are a father. How did that make you feel?
Well, it made me feel sometimes when a black man is being abused, when he's being targeted because of the color of his skin, mm-hmm. that is every black man.
Right.
Floyd was every other black man
right.
that walked that street, that drives his car trying to get home.
Right.
You know, and we are treated this way, and we don't understand why. You know, sometimes when you're honest, when you are a law-abiding citizen, when it takes two or three policemen to bring you down and to hold you down, then that's a problem.
Right.
That's a problem with the police training. That's a problem with the police not assisting like they should. When I saw this, I couldn't breathe either. I felt the same way I feel like I can't breathe. You know, because I knew that should have been. Why couldn't they not tase him?
Right.
Instead of wrestling with him and putting their own life, putting their own body in jeopardy of being harmed, of being shot. If he took the taser, he could have took the gun.
Right.
And that could have went a whole different way. So officers have to be careful. Don't provoke something if you can keep from provoking it. If you can talk to him, I saw that the young man. I saw that other part of that, and I saw how he were, how kind he were, and tell him that I didn't do anything. Tell me what did
right.
I do? I saw him. I saw him being calm. I saw him
pretty much the whole time. When they got him out of the vehicle, they set him up against the he sat at the sidewalk. He was not fighting. He wasn't resisting.
He wasn't
resisting. Put him in a vehicle. And I like the video I saw looked like they were, I don't know if they were punching him in the vehicle, what they were like they were fighting him in the vehicle. Then they pulled him back out of the car.
Yeah, the whole story is why did he get back out the vehicle? Why did they
why?
Pull him back out the vehicle? And that was my problem with that. That was my whole problem. If you got me in the car,
what am
I doing back out on the street?
Right.
You know,
and I'm in handcuffs inside the vehicle. So what am I doing so bad that you pull me back out and then you put four people? Was it three people, four people on top of me?
Right, and cops are, I think I was telling my wife this morning, cops are trained to listen to all kind of status, all kind of talk and cussing and stuff. When I was working with the court and locking people up in jail and taking, I was called everything.
Mm.
They'll tell me that I had sticks in my back end. They'll tell me that I was idiot, tell me I was stupid. They'll call me pigs and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I learned to walk away from it and say, you take care of yourself, brother. Everything all right. I learned to deal with that. And
yeah.
Officers need to deal with that physically and mentally. They need to learn how to control mm-hmm. their own emotions.
That's right.
That's it. Yeah.
So let me ask you this, and I'm going to let you go because I know you're probably tired of talking. But let's say like this right here, Uncle Joe. If you were there, and they had George Floyd on the ground, and they were calling for backup. You know, other officers did come up. What if you were one of the officers that pulled up? What would you have done?
Well, I don't really know because I couldn't hear everything that Floyd was saying, but I would have said, brother officer, let's contain this situation. Let's control this situation. Let's pick him up and put him in the car. If he was a handcuffed, it shouldn't have been no problem of putting him in the car. Why would you put your knee on a handcuffed man's neck?
Right.
And he already handcuffed. And you got several officers that were there, could have got him up and put him in the car.
Mm-hmm. Even if they had to just lay him in there.
If just laid him across the back seat, he would have been in the car, and there was no threat. And,
right.
And from where we were standing and where the people with the phones were standing, it looked as though that he was no threat to nobody.
Right.
And that would make this crime so terrible. That would make this crime so awful.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the man was contained, he was no threat. And so when a person is no threat, the best time and the best thing to do is to go ahead on and put him in the car
mm-hmm.
and take him and lock him up, and the situation would have been resolved.
Right.
Resolved in court. Don't take it out on prison because of what they say or
right.
how they say it. And police officers are trained to deal with that. But I said many times that they are no psychologists.
Right.
They are no counselors. They are not trained. They are dealing with a generation that, honestly, they're not prepared to handle. They're not prepared to deal with
That's right.
the situation of these young people. Many of them are mentally ill. A lot of people out there got dementia.
Right.
They got all kind of problems. And the police officer are not trained to deal with mentally ill people. Deal with dementia. They're not trained to deal with certain situations that people have. So
that's
the best thing to do is put handcuffs on them and put them in the car and take them and let somebody else deal with them that is trained to question them.
That's right.
That's what you do because we don't understand. That's what my wife is a therapist. That's her job.
Mm-hmm.
That's counselors and psychology job to deal with those situations. Your job is to take them and lock them up.
That's right.
Your job is not to be the judge and the jury.
That's right.
That's not your job.
Just if you stay in your field and do what you're supposed to do, a lot of these deaths that have occurred, a lot of these people that gotten hurt, probably would have never happened.
Right. My job at church as a pastor, if a husband and wife is not getting along and he beat her, it's not my job to go home and beat him up for her.
I can see you kicking in the air. They just stick with your job.
Yeah.
Oh, well, thank God. I mean, this was awesome. The 10 rules of, what is it, the 10 rules of survival is stopped by the police. We did need these 10 rules. Is nothing that we've not heard before, but this time we need to keep these rules just like we got the Bible hidden in our heart. We need to keep that close to our heart and our mind because our main goal is, like you said, is getting home safely. If we can get home safe, then all this other stuff, we can take them to court. We can sue their socks off or sue their pants off or whatever. But first thing, you got to make it home safely. You got to be able to tell about it.
Right. You need to live to tell about it. And when you get to court, you're not fighting by yourself. But
right.
When you're out there fighting with a police officer, ultimately you're going to lose. Because when the first lick is passed and your first argument is started, then all the rights are his. You lost. You still with all your rights.
It's going to really escalate from there. And you will not win.
You still with your rights.
Right.
When you argue with the police, when you tussle with the police, when you call them names, you have thrown away all of your rights.
My God.
And they have a right to act. They have a right to subdue you. That's their rights. Yeah. And so that's why the law works in their favor.
Right. Well, we just thank God for this interview on today with none other than the Pastor Joe Lewis Bowens. Joel Bowens. Second Baptist Missionary Baptist Church. Over in Prairie, Mississippi.
Amen.
If his voice went out, I'd let him do a little song for y'all, but we'll catch him on another day and let him sing something since he's on his other type of business today, so we ain't gonna mess with the Lord business today. We'll just let him. He on the law side today. He ain't doing the Lord side today. He just on the law side.
We'll get one encouraging word to law. The law stops you. And you feel straightened. That's it. If the law don't help me, can't stand this storm. Oh, if the law don't help me, y'all know I can't stand the storm. Yeah.
Hey, give me just a little Lulu.
Oh, little Lulu.
Oh, Lord. Yeah. See, when it's in you, it's going to come out sooner or later. I don't care what's in you. It's going to come out sooner or later. But we give God the glory and we thank him for allowing this pastor to come on and give us these words of what we needed to know, how to conduct ourselves before police officers. So we're going to close this out and we give God the glory. Do you want to give us a closing prayer?
Yes.
Close it in prayer for me.
Father God, we thank you for this hour, and we thank you for this interview and the young lady that we thank you, God, that she's energetic, that she's filled with your Holy Spirit, that she's exciting, she's energetic, she's motivated, insulated, and isolated, and all that other stuff. We thank you, God, for your the purpose of this interview, God, is to inform people how to live and how to survive and how to get home. And God, we pray for our whole nation. Yes. We pray for all those, dear God, that are sick with the coronavirus. We pray for the old, dear God, that are a racial victim in racism. Yes. We pray, God, that you will clean up our land. Yes. We pray, God, you said in the Second Chronicle, God, 7:14, if my people, if my people who are called by my name, if they will humble themselves and pray and turn from that wicked way, dear God, you said that you will heal our land. Yes. And God, we're in a sick land. We in a disturbed land, dear God. Lord, we need you to bring peace. God, we need you to bring us together, God. We need you, dear God. I heard you say in your word, God, you never leave us, nor will you forsake us. And Lord, we are not a forsaken people. We know that you're real. We know that you love us, God. We know that you're concerned for our lives. And we pray for the life of all those that were lost, all of them. And we pray for every police officer that leave their home, dear God, leave their families and go out on this battlefield. We pray, God, that they would use caution, patience, love, and respect, dear God. We pray that you would bless us now, God. Keep us, God. Bless the leaders of our nation. Bless our governor. And God, we pray that you would protect us. And God, you said that you would. And Lord, we are trusting your word. We are depending on you, dear God, and we're trusting in your promises. Father God, we pray and ask all this in the precious name of Jesus, our Christ. We pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you guys for listening. God bless.